Hi, and welcome to Webcamps TV. I'm your host, Corey. Far left over there, Brady Gasser, sporting some new glasses today.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go.
A little dizzy.
Don't get dizzy. And in between us here is Guang.
Hi.
Guang is from the Azure SDK team.
Yes.
And, lots of different pieces. And you're responsible for the CLI tools, both PowerShell and cross-platform.
CLI, yes.
And a new announcement today, which
right.
is what we'll get into. It's kind of scrolling around in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But first, I don't know, let's talk about, you know, we haven't been here for a while. Kind of feels weird being back in the studio.
It's kind of a reunion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been out and about, out and about.
Oh, I'm going there.
Yeah. Well, I did make a trip back to Canada, so
this is true.
I was at Confu for a while, went on a tour for Webcamps. So if you check out the Webcamps near you, there's still lots going on as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Devcamps.ms, check out the site, see if there's still one coming near you. After that, I kind of hung around here, and then last week we had AzureConf, so that was a lot of fun behind the scenes.
Yep.
Lots of community speakers.
Yep.
Where have you been?
Last week I was in Slovenia at NTK 13. Thanks a lot for having me out. It was a lot of fun, fantastically fun conference. One thing that's just like a couple of numbers that are pretty impressive. Slovenia, now this is all coming from the guys that hosted me, so if these numbers are wrong, you can yell at them. they said Slovenia is a country of 2 million people, and they shrunk the conference this year, but up until this year, they'd had 2,000 people at the conference. So that would be like if TechEd had like 50,000 people. That's pretty pretty incredible. I mean, if you think about that audience, that's huge.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of good stuff talked about. I was in a couple different hotels. It was fantastic. The week before that, I was actually in town. And the week before that, I was, I don't remember where I was.
You're Vegas for Dev Intersections.
For Dev Intersections. And that was a lot of fun as well. The guys did a great job putting that together. I was on .NET Rocks State of the Cloud panel, which is actually out now. Please feel free to go listen to it. I got a little bit crucified here and there. I was the only Microsoft guy on the panel, so they really hammered me, and it got a little. I was like, okay, stop.
So, time out.
Yeah, so they, you know, it was really good. I met a bunch of really cool people. I met Javal Lowry, who I've been reading his stuff for years. Zoiner was also on it. He did a really good job on Wasabi. And then Michelle Bustamante was also on the panel. And she was complimenting websites. She said that she's actually recommending websites to a lot of her customers, whereas she would have previously recommended web roles.
Yep.
So we, you know, big fist on that. We did a good job. So I felt good about that. But that's it. I'm definitely jet lagged and tired. Actually, I don't get jet lagged. Kind of those weird Brady things. But I'm definitely tired. I'm glad to be back and concentrating on work again. So it's good stuff. But it's nice to be back in the studio together.
Yeah,
hopefully
it's great.
Keep it going for a little while this time.
Cool.
So, but enough about us. We've just been busy touring. Bob will probably edit in some funny image of us going on tour now.
We really need to get in front of the green screen at some point.
Yeah, we do. We have to do a green screen. If you guys want us to do a show on the green screen, use the comments feature down below. If we get enough votes on it, we'll do a green screen show. And God knows what we'll see then. We have no idea.
It will be epic.
It will be epic.
Yeah.
So green screen, vote up or down. Let us know. But enough about us. You guys aren't here to listen to us banter on about how we miss each other. you're here to talk about code. So I guess the first thing we want to make an announcement about is the Ruby SDK. You want to tell us about that?
Yes. So we just released a new Ruby SDK last Friday.
Cool.
So with this new language in our SDK family, now we have .NET, Java, Node.js, Python, PHP, and Ruby. So six languages.
Nice.
And purely from a volume perspective, we're now equal with Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Functionality perspective, we understand we're still have a way to catch up,
mm-hmm.
but at least this is a great start.
Cool.
Yeah,
nice.
Yep, great.
So if I was a guy that wanted to build a Ruby app, like what's the first step, second step? Like I guess the SDK is going to give me access to things like storage, service bus. So would I like fire up a VM using VM Depot, get it configured, and then kind of party on it from that point?
Right. So so if you want to ever create a Ruby app, you probably want to think from two perspectives. One is how you want to deploy it. And
right.
the second is that how you want to consume the address services that, that we provide for you.
Okay.
So on the hosting story, so today we still recommend you to use VM roles.
Okay.
To use VMs.
Right.
So you can definitely fire up a Linux VM. From Windows Azure, you can use a clean VM, or you can use our open source VM Depot to fire one, which has the Ruby runtime and Rails and whatever frameworks you like installed. After you do that, you want to think about how you want to how you want to consume Azure services. Mm-hmm. Now, with the first release of our Ruby SDK, we support fully for storage, nice. So including block, table, and queue. Nice. And then we also support service bus, including queues and topic and subscriptions.
Nice. Great.
So these two services are considered as the core service awesome. For us mm-hmm. in Azure. Mm-hmm. So we want to have a good coverage in all of our languages.
Nice.
So if you go to our Ruby Dev Center today, mm-hmm. this is a brand new Dev Center we mm-hmm. just launched, mm-hmm. You will see tutorials to show you how to use our code for storage and service bus.
Nice.
There are also two tutorials talking about how to deploy to a Azure Linux VM. So awesome. The first one is very simple. You basically fire up a VM, you use a remote copy to copy your code. Mm-hmm. And the second one is more sophisticated. It's more like simulating a production environment. Cool. So we have demonstration about how to use Capistrano to do deployment. Okay. We also show you how to configure servers like Nginx and Unicorn. So nice. That's kind of a fully baked advanced tutorial.
Yeah. So you're going to come back next week and do a Ruby demo for us?
Yeah, I would love to do that.
Nice. Awesome. So we're going to show some Ruby stuff on the show. Yeah. All about that.
I have a feeling with the ability to do service bus queues that there's going to be some sort of message me application coming out of our team at some point.
That'd be good. I want to claim that one because I like playing with Ruby. I'm not that good at it, but I love the community. I'd love to play with it a little bit more and get deeper. Now I can do that and get away with it.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just fantastic. Well, congratulations on your release.
Thank you. That
was actually one that we got an email like right before it was going to be announced. We on the evangelism team, nobody even knew about it, and it was like next week. You know, and we were like, oh, that's cool. Like that's exciting.
So yeah, I guess we keep the secret pretty right.
Yeah. Hats off for that. Like. Secret. That was good. So what's next? Boo? R? What are we going to go with next? What's the next language?
Well, we don't yet. We'll see. And especially all the folks who are listening, who are watching this show, like definitely tell us what languages do you want to see in our family, and we'll definitely consider that.
Nice. That's fantastic.
Lots of room down in the comment section to be able to post your vote. I'm going to go out on a limb and say COBOL.
you're too young to say that.
You don't know. I've done COBOL before. Nice. It's but actually, you know, there's lots of people still writing a lot of Perl out there, so that'd be interesting. But cast your vote on the comment section below, and we'll make sure to pass it along to the team.
I think you just named the next one. Like everybody that wants Perl is going to start freaking out now. They love their regular expressions. So awesome. Well, this actually is not what you came to show us today.
Right.
I think you're going to show us some new improvements that we made in the CLI tools.
Yes. Okay. So as Corey mentioned, now I own the CLI experience for Windows Azure. So it's nice. Both PowerShell and cross-platform CLI.
Cool.
So today I'm going to focus on two features. We recently added two XPLS CLI and PowerShell. They're both related to website.
Cool.
So one is site scale. So before we have this feature, whenever you want to change the scale mode of your website, mm-hmm. you need to go to the portal, right. So which is pretty lame. And the second one is that recently we added a log streaming feature for website. So some of you may already know that nowadays websites support application logs, so you mm-hmm. can write your logs right from your code.
Nice.
What we add in XPLS CLI and PowerShell is a command that allow you to get the real-time log streaming right from your console.
Nice.
So
nice.
These are the two features I'm going to show today.
Nice. Cool. That's fantastic. So, like, as people are hitting your site, you can actually see the logs coming in live?
Yep.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
I'm in real-time, so that'll be good.
Okay. So let's get started. So now this is my... this is my Windows Azure subscription. You can see that I already have three websites created. So now what I'm going to do first is, so now I bring up, this is our Azure CLI console. So if you haven't installed it, you can do npm install azure-cli.
Right.
So just do this, npm install azure -CLI-G. Now this will install the tool for you. So after you install it, you can type in Azure, and then this will show all the commands we have today for you to manage your websites and VMs, etc.
And the ASCII art.
Yes.
Yeah, I mentioned
the ASCII art. Yeah, my favorite.
Yeah,
feature,
this is my favorite too.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's good stuff.
So now today we're gonna focus on first the Azure site. Azure Site Scale command. So if you type it in, you can see that now under Azure Site Scale, we have the Azure Scale mode, and we have the Azure Scale instances.
Nice.
So what I do is that for Scale mode, we'll change the mode. So now, as you know, that for website, we have three modes. We have free, we have shared, and we have dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
So this mode command is for you to change the scale mode of your website.
Nice.
And then the second command is for you to change your instance if you are in shared mode or dedicated mode. That's where you can change how many website VMs that you want to use.
Nice.
So these are the two. So let's take a look. So before I actually run this command, I'm gonna use Azure Site Show. And I'm going to do, this is the test website.
Yeah,
this is a show. So this command will show me all the detailed information of my website, Guayan test 02. So let's give it a try.
And just a quick note, you're using a Mac for this, so there's probably not an issue on the Mac. If you do that npm install Azure CLI, if you're running in Windows, have your node running as admin, because I've seen a couple of weird things happen if I'm not running as admin. So the safety net is run node as admin, then do the npm install.
Yep.
So.
Okay, so now I got all the information off my website. The thing we're interested here is that we have this site mode is dedicated.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So there is a site mode limited.
Okay.
And then there is a number of workers. This is one. Right, so
cool.
This is basically the information I'm looking for.
Nice.
So now let's try to use the command Azure Site Scale mode. Let's try to change it to shared.
So limited is free, basically?
No. So shared is not, so limited is not free.
Okay.
So free is really like a term that we use because in Azure, there is no billing impact for this tier.
Right.
So I can show you, after I show this, I will actually show you the code, how we do this from the CLI, so you can see what free means exactly.
Cool.
So what I'm gonna do is mode, and then this is my website name, and the mode, as you can see here, it's free, shared, and reserved.
Okay.
So I'm gonna use shared. And then this is actually calling the API exposed by a website to change it.
Nice.
So now if I run this again, show.
The cool thing about Azure Site Show is if you play around with the command line tools a bit, there's a --json tag that you can put on the end, and basically all the stuff that gets outputted into the console window here, you can actually get that as a JSON feed. So
yes.
If you wanted to build out any kind of automated scripts, using that --json is very helpful, getting some sort of consumable format to go and programmatically execute against this.
Right. Okay. Now let's see what happened after we ran the command to change the scale to shared.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can see that the compute mode has already changed to shared.
Mm-hmm.
The site mode changed to basic.
Nice.
So the number of workers are still one because we haven't changed the instance yet.
Nice.
So let's go and try to change the instance. So for change the instance, I'm going to do scale instance. I think it's instance.
Yep.
Let's just delete this guy. Instances. Instances-h. Let's see the help. Yes, so this is the instances, and then this is my website name, and then basically I need to specify how many instances I want, so let's change it to two. And besides the instance, I can also specify the size of the instances, if it is allowed. Now, because now we changed our scale mode to shared,
mm-hmm.
that actually has a constraint that you cannot set the size to small, medium, and large. It is only small. But if you changed your scale mode to reserved,
mm-hmm.
You can actually change the VM size here.
So small, medium, large, whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now let's change the instance to two. Let's try that. Oop. So it says that the instance can only be changed for site in reserve mode. Okay, so that's my thought. So let's change it to reserve. Try that again. So scale mode two and reserved.
Nice.
Okay, and then let's change it. And actually, now I think I can specify the size again. Size as well. So let's do. Let's change it to medium
because it should already be small.
Yeah, change it to medium. Okay, now it's updating the server.
Wow.
So it returns fine. So let's go back and show the website to see whether it changed.
And just let's look at your portal and see the scale tab.
Yeah, actually, we can do that as well. So this is my portal. This is the website I have. So if I go to the scale tab, so it's already getting to reserve. And I see the instance size is medium. And then the instance counts is 2. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, so the command works.
Yeah.
Woo! Okay.
So this is actually where we do testing.
Not wearing the right shirt today.
Exactly. That's true.
Okay. So this is about this scale mode thing.
Yeah.
Command, this is really handy when you want to tweak the scale of your website.
Yeah.
So the next thing, I would say, like, personally to me, it's even more exciting. That's the log streaming feature, because I know that a lot of developers, they want to see real-time logs and errors of their website, especially when they're trying to debugging their stuff.
Yep.
So that's really cool. So the next thing I'm going to show you, it's this command. So it's called Azure Site Log. So if we just see the help page,
A good thing to note is Azure Site Log's been there since the beginning, but its sole function was to do the download of the logs that you could get if you were to FTP into your instance.
Yep.
Right.
We just provide a nice command line interface to do it.
Right.
But now there's a new function in there.
Yes. So as Corey said, Azure Site Log has been there for a while already. Before we add the log streaming, we have the site log download commands. Mm-hmm. This is to download the log files from your website.
Right.
And what we add for log streaming is a tail command. So this is for you to do log streaming. So the way I'm going to show you is that I'm going to create a brand new Azure website.
Cool.
And I'm going to configure it to enable application logs. I'm going to write some application logs. And then I'm going to use this command to get the real-time log streaming back from us.
This is back crazy to us. Cool.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see this.
So let's try this. So I'm going to make a URL called node because I'm gonna write my application in Node.
Cool. Okay.
So Node website diagnostics. Let's go to this URI, and then I'm gonna do express dot just to create a very simple express apps. Right. So then the next thing I'm gonna do is to use the Azure Site Create command to create a website and deploy whatever I have here right to website. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I do Azure Site Create. Here I want to use a --git command. This is to tell website that I want to have a Git repository in the website.
Yep.
So then I can push to that Git repository to do my deployment.
Yep. Nice.
So then I also give it a name. So test01. So this will ask me for which location I want to create my website, and will actually nicely list all the available locations for me.
Right.
So since we're in Seattle, so I'm going to do the West U.S. This is a little bit closer to us.
And you can provide that as an option, can't you? You say West U.S.
Yes, definitely. Right.
Yeah,
definitely.
If you do --location.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I saw someone do that at Dev Intersections.
Yep. You can definitely do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now this is created. So, and actually what it did is it ran Git initial to make my current folder a local Git repo, and also ran the Git remote add command.
Mm-hmm.
To add the Git repo in my website as a remote repo.
Nice.
So what you can do is you can do git remote-v. You can see this is my remote repo. And
awesome.
This is the Git status. So you can see that all these are the untracked files. So I just need to add it to my repo, right?
Okay.
So the other thing it does, let me just clear this. The other thing it does is that it as a IS node dot YAML file for us. Yeah. So this is a file where you can configure how do you want to do logging.
Okay.
So let's open it up.
Teach you some Vim. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So as you can see right now, by default, the logging enabled is setting to false. Mm-hmm. And the reason we make this as a default is that with this Git deployment, every time you push your change mm-hmm. to your website Git repository, it's like a production deployment.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So we think that for most of the time for production deployment, by default, we shouldn't really enable logging or debugging for you for security mm-hmm. reason.
Yep.
If you really want to see it, then you can definitely go here and change it to true. So that's what we're gonna do. Okay. Oops.
If you go back out to heading mode, you can do shift $. We'll get you the end of line.
Yep.
Know it all.
So I'm gonna save this guy right here.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm just gonna run some some basic Git commands. So add all the files I have here, mm-hmm. and I'll do a Git commit -am, say initial commit. So this is committing to my local repo, and cool. I'm gonna do Git push Azure. So Azure is the name of my remote repo, right? So I do Git Azure push master, Git push Azure master. So this is just this is actually deploying my site.
Right.
Okay.
Excellent.
Yes.
So one thing to note here is when you ran express dot, it gave you some instructions on what to do, and it said, hey, you should run npm install to install the dependencies, but you didn't do that.
Right.
So now that you're deploying this out, Websites is actually jumping in and doing all of the dependencies.
Yes, so as you can see from the output here, it says remote npm. So this is actually website is running npm for me
Perfect.
In the server.
Cool.
So yeah, so that's pretty awesome. So now if we go back to the portal, and you can see there is already a, so this is a Guanyin test 01, so this is the one I created.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go to the configure tab, you can see that here we have application. So here we have one new section. Here we have application logs.
Mm-hmm.
Application log, you have two destinations you can store your logs. One is in file system, the other is in storage.
Nice.
By default, they are all off.
Mm-hmm.
But what we did really cool in Kudu is that, I'm gonna show this to you. So if you do Azure site log tail, and you do, because this is, and you do my, this is my website name.
Mm-hmm.
So this will actually open up the log stream for me. And it says you're welcome, you're not connected to log streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
When you do this, Kudu will actually turn on the application log for file system automatically for you.
So, nice.
you don't need to go to the portal or use any other tools to to configure it. Because we know that in order for you to get the log streaming, you have to enable the application log file system.
If it was off when you ran that, will it turn it back off again after you finish logging?
So there is no off.
Okay.
Because after you hit the log streaming,
yeah.
This feature is on.
Okay, cool.
So there is no actually the concept of off.
So you'd have to come back to the portal to turn it off?
Right. So if you want, yes, but this is a free feature, so it's not gonna charge you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But if it was a production environment, you didn't want to have all that extra data getting
right.
pushed out to your file system, it's a good idea
right.
to come back and turn it off.
Nice, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
right. So as you can see here, we have on and off. So it's already turned to on, and a log level by default is error. So for the purpose of this demo, we're going to change it to verbose, and then we're just going to save it.
We want it all.
Yes. So now that's actually... go to C, I'll go to V or a website. Okay, so this is just the express start page, right? So so now if we go back, you can see it's already happening.
Wait, leave that up, hit the site.
No, that's what I have been doing.
Okay.
So that 404 message and all that has been me.
Yeah. So the log streaming is already happening.
That's hot.
But this time, as you can see, this is just some HTTP log. So it's not exactly the application logs we have.
Right.
It's actually the log streaming feature by default. It was streaming all the logs you have.
Right.
So HTTP logs and application logs. But we haven't changed our application to write any log yet.
Okay.
So that's what I'm gonna do now. So let me quit this. And then this is Node. Okay. So let's open up. So what I'm gonna do is that I'm gonna add a few application logs in this index routing. So this is the home page.
Nice.
For my application. So you can just simply do console.log. And you can say new date because I wanna know when I got the log when the log is generated. So I can do this guy to string over here, and then I can say okay. Let's say you are a warning. So let's start with warning first. So let's say you are a warning, and then I do this is a warning. Okay. Then I'm gonna do the same thing, but log an error. So I'm just gonna copy it and just change this guy to error. Yes. So this is an error. I think I misspelled it.
So is it actually parsing the string text that's coming out of here, or is this?
Well, so it's not that smart yet. So what we did in website is that we actually write a log provider for Node. So then whenever you do console.log or console.warn, console.error, we'll actually capture what you write, and then we're gonna put it into the file system if you enable the file system logging.
Mm-hmm.
And if you enable the table storage logging, we're gonna write it into the table as well.
Nice.
Okay, cool.
So in this way, you don't need to configure where your logs are. You just use the plain node console.log, which is everybody using JavaScript. Right?
Nice.
So, okay, so let's save this guy, and then let's push it. So before I push it, I'm just gonna check the status. Okay, so this is the one I modified. So I do add route index, and then app log. Just say add app logging.
Nice.
And then I do push.
So you went to add it, but then finish it off as a commit.
No, this is not add. This is.
That's why I call them feedback Fowler.
This should be commit. This should be commit. Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, this should be commit. And then we do push Azure master. So this is, again, deploying my change to website. So now if I do Azure site log tail, then my website name, okay. So now if I hit it again, okay, so now this is already in. So you can see that. So now query is hitting my website right now. So you can see now I have this is a warning and this is an error. So this is the application log you can expect from this log streaming feature.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'd really like to comment the fact that I don't know if you out there can hear the click. Maybe I'll do this. But basically, as soon as I click it, it's popping right up on the screen. So
that's
it's
nuts.
Totally real time.
Yeah, the server's right over there. That's awesome.
Okay, so one more thing I want to show you about this log streaming is that, so if you go to Azure site log tail-h just to see the help content, you can see that we actually also support a path parameter and a filter parameter.
Nice.
So the path parameter is about So in website, whenever we write a log, no matter it's a HTTP log or an application log, we actually write into a folder called log files.
Okay. Nice.
And inside a folder, we have separate folders for each kind of log. So we have one for HTTP, we have one for application.
Right.
So you can use this parameter to set exactly from which folder you want to see the log. So let's say if I only want to see application logs, I can use this parameter to do it, and I'm going to show you that. And besides that, we also have this -- filter command. This is to do a substring matching on the log message that you wrote. So in this way, let's say if you only want to see errors, you don't want to see warnings, you can use this filter.
Nice. Cool.
That's fantastic.
So one question about the path is the path like a relative from log files, and then you're looking at the folder name?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, that's what we do. So let's try it. So I have tail, and then I can do -p. So since this is a Node.js file, since this is a Node application, so the log folder, it's a Node.js. And I do -f. Now let's see. I only want to see errors. Mm-hmm. Okay. Test 01. Okay.
Go, Corey.
So now you can see there is no HTTP log anymore, and all you can see is the error log.
That's awesome. Cool. That's really cool. That's fantastically cool.
So this is a demo. This is all the demo I'm going to show today. By the way, for this log streaming feature, we also have it in PowerShell as well. The feature is exactly the same, except for that in PowerShell, we actually add one more feature, is that you can use a command to list what are the available paths. Not anybody is like me that I know exactly the application folder for Node.js is called Node.js.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The other scenario is that you can actually customize which folder you want to write, so you can have your own folder name.
Nice.
So because of this, we add that functionality in PowerShell to list all the available passes. We don't have it in Express CLI yet, but we're going to add it.
So I'm a little bit of a PowerShell nut, and I really quite enjoy it. Is it possible to pipe this out to like another document of sorts? Or is it just going to load up all throughout the console?
So right now it's about you can only load up to a console.
Okay.
And the reason is because right now we get back a stream, it's a little bit hard to deal with that when we do piping.
Yeah.
Piping. Cool. That's definitely something we can improve.
Cool. Yeah. Which means I should just go off to the GitHub. Log an issue and say this would be a cool feature, and then you guys can evaluate.
Yeah, and the other thing about this piping to a file is that when we design this feature, we're kind of doing this prioritization.
Right.
And we feel that for real time, my understanding is that most of the developers, you just want to see it.
Yeah.
And whereas if you want to pipe it to a log, it's more about I want to get all the logs for a period of time.
Yeah.
And then I want to analyze it.
Yeah. So in which case, turning on file system logging is probably a good way to go. Yep. And then you just download it as part of all your log files.
Yeah. And by the way, we do have download log files in PowerShell as well.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Awesome. Cool. This is fantastic. I can totally imagine playing with this extensively. I'm going to be doing this probably during the next meeting that I have.
Quickly learn all these commands again.
So I just installed. Here's a question for you. For those of us that already have the CLI tools installed, installed it. Like I got a new computer and I just installed it a couple days ago. So I obviously don't have this. If I just do npm again, can we just bring down the new bits, or do I have to kind of delete it and start over? What's my update process?
So update process is simple. So update process is that. So after you install our CLI, let's say you use npm to install it.
Yeah.
And you can do npm list -g.
Mm-hmm.
So this is gonna return all the global modules you have.
Okay.
And you can see that Azure CLI is over here, and this is the current version 0.6.15. So if you wanna update it, you just do npm update -g. So this will actually update all the global modules for you, including including the CLI one.
Cool.
So if you just want to upgrade exactly this one, then you just do npm update Azure CLI -g.
Nice. I'll do that later.
I'm actually running it right now.
Cool. Did you run as admin?
I did not, and everything is going as planned. So
I guess it's just me then.
Yep. No, everything went off without a hitch.
Just my problem then. Okay. If it can be broken, I will break it. That's what you call Brady-proofing your application. This is fantastic. I'm totally going to be playing with this, like I said, probably in about 11 minutes.
Yeah, this is pretty awesome.
This is really, really cool. I assume you probably have other tricks in store for the future, other good stuff coming for the CLI tools?
Yes.
You can stop there if you want to.
Yeah.
You can stop it, yes.
Actually,
our viewers love
secrets.
Secrets.
Oh, secrets, really? Okay. Then yes, definitely, and something, And I'll definitely come back to show you guys whenever we have a prototype.
Nice. That's fantastic. Well, thanks a lot for tuning in. Thank you so much for taking time out of your extremely busy schedule to come. You probably have a meeting to get to as well, so we'll let you go here. I guess we'll probably be back in here together for a couple of weeks. We have a couple of conferences coming up in June. Yeah. So I guess between now and then, are you here? Or
I'll be out at PHP Tech in 2 weeks' time. Okay. So I won't be here. Actually, I think I head out on the Tuesday, so I could record the show and then run off on the trip. So that would be that'd be pretty good.
That's fantastic. Well, thanks a lot for coming.
No problem.
I hope you had a good time.
Thank you.
Cool. And you guys download the CLI tools and give it a shot, or if you're a PowerShell guy like Corey and I, you can download the PowerShell stuff.
PowerShell too.
Yeah, that'll be good stuff. I'll have to play with this later.
Don't forget to comment about the green screen episode below if you'd like to see one.
And tell us where you want us to be in that green screen.
That is very
true. The holodeck.
Oh, the holodeck.
The beach. It'll be good. It'll be good.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Cool.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks. See you next time.